Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're going to talk about the lies that car dealers tell that are not illegal. And I'll tell you right now, about 4 years ago, I did a video on this topic, but it's been buried underneath the 300 or 400 videos that have made sense. And so I'm basically redoing a topic that I actually did do quite a while ago. But based on the number of views that video got, I think I can update it now, and the bulk of you won't have seen that first video anyways. So these lies that car sellers tell are not illegal. And this is the thing. Based on phone calls I get at my office, people I talk to, people who contact me via email or whatever, one of the things is they'll say, well, here's what a car dealer told me, and I relied upon this to purchase a car, and the car is now a piece of junk, and I want to go after the car dealer. Can't I do that? And quite often I say, no, you can't legally. And they say, well, but he lied to me. He lied to me. So one of the first things I have to point out to you, and this is going to surprise some people, I guess, but merely lying to somebody is not illegal. It is not illegal to simply tell somebody a lie, okay? It depends on the context you're in and what the lie is about, but some lies can become illegal depending on that situation. We talked recently about, for instance, lying to a police officer might be illegal. But the point is that a mere lie by itself is not something you can sue somebody. You can't sue somebody and say, I'm suing them because they lied to me. You've got to have much, much more than that. So I have news for you. A lot of car dealers lie. A lot of car sellers lie. And the lies that they tell often are not actionable. You cannot sue somebody over these. And that's why they tell the lies, because they know they can get away with it. So one example of this, and I get this fairly often, is someone will say, Steve, I bought a car. I was shopping around, and the car dealer told me, this is a great price for this car. This price I'm giving you is a great price. They'll often embellish it by saying things like, it's less than we paid for the car. My boss is going to kill me when he finds that I gave you this car at this price. You could shop around, but you won't find one cheaper. And so somebody buys the car and they bring it home, and they're either doing research later or someone points out to them that, hey, you got robbed. You paid way more than that car is worth. In fact, just look it up on the internet. I can find you a dozen cars in this county for less than that. So the question is, when they lied to me and said, this is a great price, let's assume that the seller knew that. It was not a good price. He knew that it was a lie. Can't you go back after them and sue them for lying to you about whether or not the car is priced properly? No, you can't. Okay? There's nothing illegal about that. And in some states, there's a law called the Unfair and Deceptive Trade Practices Act. Michigan had a thing called the Consumer Protection Act. It's considered unenforceable right now due to our brilliant Supreme Court. But even in states that have an Unfair and Deceptive Trade Practices Act, it'll say things like, it is illegal to sell a product for a price grossly in excess of the value of the goods. But they can sell a product for a price in excess of the value. It just can be grossly in excess. And some states have said that it's got to be a 2 or 3 times multiplier. Meaning, if the car is worth $10,000 retail, and I sell it to you for $15 and tell you, hey, it's a great price, nothing you can do about it. Now, if I sold it to you for $30 and 3 times the actual value of the car, possibly you could win that case. But in most states, the salesman telling you this is a great price is what we consider to be sales puffery. They can say stuff like that to try to sell the car. You expect them to say it. And so because you know they're going to say that, there's no reason that you can go after them and say, hey, look, this guy lied to me about the value of this thing he's selling me. Of course he did. That's what salespeople do. So if you think about it and you want to find out whether or not the price of something is appropriate, who is the last person you ask? The person selling it to you. That's the last person you ask. So don't ask them their opinion of the price. Ask somebody else. Nowadays with smartphones, you have no excuse to not look up the value of something you're buying, because you can do it on your smartphone. You can find out. You can go onto eBay and find other cars in your area based on zip code and find out what these cars are selling for. I admit that's a little bit of work, and you have to do some figuring and so on. But the point is, you can figure that out on your own. So when they say this is a great price for the car, ignore them. You should know what a great price that car is based on your own research. That's lie number one. Lie number two, This is the last one like this in this county. And that's an example of a classification. I'm not sure how to classify these statements. But they'll often make a statement about a vehicle they're trying to sell you that is, it sounds objective. It sounds like something you could measure. You know, this is a very unusual combination of you know, options. You can't find another one like this that's got, you know, this option with this option and that option. That's a very strange and unusual combination. Because of that, it's worth more money. In fact, it's worth a lot more money. And now, you might buy the car and later find out that, hey, all the cars came equipped like this. There's nothing unusual about this. Or you might buy the last one in the county and on your drive to work the next day, drive by a lot that's got 12 of them. And you go, wait, there's 12 of them right there. This couldn't have been the last one in the county. And by the way, this could apply to a brand new car. It could apply to a used car. I've had people tell me things that the guys have said to them at the dealership. And it's often things like that. About how unusual this car is, how rare this particular car is, how difficult it is to find these cars. And again, it could be a new car, it could be a used car. And the one thing is that, again, the internet is your friend. You can go on the internet and find out if there's other cars for sale in your county or whatever the thing is that have those particular criteria you're looking for. There's no excuse for you to buy into this kind of nonsense because you can do the research and find out yourself. One of the things that I've heard from a lot of people who are buying new cars is they'll say they were looking for a particular car and they found the car they're looking for. They found the car. And while they're talking to the dealer and they're haggling on the price, the guy goes, I'm not moving on the price because this is the last one in the county. Okay? Now, here's the interesting thing. You can, again, poke around on the internet and very quickly, for instance, contact another dealer and say, hey, can you tell me if you've got one of these in stock and find out if they've got one in stock? But a lot of people don't realize dealers do dealer trades all the time. So if there's not one nearby, but there's one a couple counties away, they can get it for you if they want to. A motivated seller can track down almost anything these days. And these dealerships dealer trade back and forth all the time. So whenever somebody leans on you and says, hey, look, this one here is very unusual and rare, okay? They're just trying to get you into that mindset like, oh, maybe I got to grab it before it's gone. You know, someone else with my taste might come along and grab it and then I'm out of luck. No. You know, there are assembly lines churning out vehicles. Whether they're new or used, they were churned out. New, they're still being churned out. But the last one in the county, I highly doubt it. But do the research yourself. But even if the guy said to you, this is the last one in the county, okay? You bought it. On the way home, you pass another dealership. They got 20 of them right there. Number one, what are your damages? I mean, you bought the vehicle. What are your damages? But number two, the last one in the county, again, sounds more like sales puffery. This is a great price. So again, the courts have ruled that you cannot sue somebody over sales puffery. The stuff like, you know, it's a great car or whatever. So we'll get to that one in a second. Number three, and these are not in any particular order, but I've numbered them just to keep them straight. Number three is you are required to buy this product from us in conjunction with your car. If you buy this car, you are required to buy, and they'll often tell you gap insurance, an extended warranty, I've heard. I've heard them say you've got to finance it through us. If you want this price, you got to finance it through us. And I've also heard them say that you need to buy rust proofing. And what's funny about the rust proofing is it's fallen out of vogue. You don't even hear people talking about rust proofing anymore. I think the dealerships finally gave up trying to sell it because they realized most people know it's nonsense. But I actually knew somebody who went to a dealership and negotiated a price in a car and got a very good deal on the price. And as they were getting ready to sign the documents, the sales lady said, oh, by the way, we recommend you get the car rust proofed. And my friend said no. And she goes, well, here's the deal. She goes, we actually require it. You have to get the car rust-proofed. My friend goes, what do you mean you require it? Why would you require rust-proofing? And she goes, look, we want our customers to be happy. And we know this is Michigan. And we know that cars on Michigan roads tend to get beaten on quite a bit by the elements and the chemicals. And so we know you'll be happier with a rust-proof car. So it's only a couple $100 and we'll rust-proof your car, but we require it of all customers. My friend said, no, I refuse to buy rust-proofing. I don't like the way this is being presented to me. I don't want the rust-proofing. And the woman goes, well, I'm going to go talk to my manager then. She came back and she goes, look, we can cut you a deal on the rust proofing, but it's required. My friend goes, no. If you want to require rust proofing, I'm going to get up and walk out of here. And the woman said, okay, tell you what. I think I can get away with it just this one time. Don't want to lose a deal. You're young. I'm hoping you'll come back buy more cars from us. So we will let you slide on the rust proofing. Goes back in to pick her car up the next day, and the woman walks out. And she says, I'm really sorry. Because we rust-proof all our cars, we accidentally rust-proofed yours, but you got to pay us for it. But I'll give you a discounted price because you told me you didn't want to pay full price for it, so I can let you have it for the discounted price. Now, the person I know unfortunately fell for that and said, oh, okay. When they could have just said, oh, you either just rust-proofed my car for free or you undid the deal. Take your pick. Okay? And besides the fact, they probably didn't even do any rust-proofing. Rust-proofing, in many cases, was almost like fraudulent from the get-go. But I've heard fabric protection also. Another one that's just they buy a can of Scotch Guard, spray it on your seats, and charge you, you know, 100 times the markup on the can of Scotch Guard. Financing, everyone knows this. You can go anywhere you want and get your financing. So go to the dealership, negotiate your price. If you want to do a deal with a credit union, do a deal with a credit union. You have to understand that when the dealership sells you financing, okay, they're not financing a car for you. They are selling you financing. They sell you the car, and they sell you the financing. And what I mean by that is they make a profit off the financing. I'm just letting you know that I know many people know this, but a dealership that gets you financing is incentivized to get you financing with a higher interest rate, because the higher interest rate they can shove on you, the bigger commission they get for selling you the financing. And so you think about this, if you get your financing directly from a lender yourself, there's no middleman there. But when it goes through the dealer to you and they're getting a profit, guess where that profit comes from? It comes out of your pocket. So ideally, you want to get financing on your own. You don't want to buy the gap insurance from them. If you want to get gap insurance, get it from your own insurance people. Extended warranty, you can usually buy that directly from the company itself as well. But again, you're not required to buy those things. And if they say you are, just threaten to get up and walk out. I'll have you know, I've actually been buying a car myself in the car buying process. And I had a guy actually sit there like he wasn't going to move and go, no, you have to buy the gap insurance. You have to. And I looked at the guy and I, okay, fine. And I reach in my pocket and I pull out my wallet and I take out my business cards and I slide it across the counter and I go, did I ever tell you what I do for a living? And he looks at it and says, you know, attorney on my business card. And he goes, oh, you're an attorney. I go, I specialize in suing car dealerships over fraud and car manufacturers over lemon law. I go, so I'm not buying gap insurance from you. He goes, oh, okay. He kind of laughs and takes my card and moves on. But they will play that game of chicken with you to see who is going to fold first. Number four, this car runs great. That statement is never true. That statement is never true. Follow my logic here. When the salesperson tells you this car runs great, the salesperson is telling you a sales line because that salesperson's probably not driven that car. The salesperson got to work that morning, sat in a conference room drinking bad coffee, eating stale donuts, and a sales manager said, you guys have got to start selling cars. Number one, you win the contest. Number two, steak knives. You know how that goes. So the point is, when the salesman looks at a car and goes, this car runs great, he doesn't know. He's just saying that, okay? And if you ask the salesman, have you driven it? Watch to see the salesman will lie to you and say, yes, he has. Because he'll probably say, no, but you know, my other salesperson did, or I was talking to another salesman. They'll make up some crazy thing. But when they say this car runs great, they're not saying that from personal knowledge. They are merely saying sales puffery. You can ignore it. So if you want to find out if the car really runs great, don't listen to what they tell you. Take it out and drive it yourself. Drive it around, make sure everything works, including the air conditioning and the radio and so on, the infotainment center, the Bluetooth, and then take it to a mechanic and have it inspected. A lot of people are going to skip that because they trust their own skills and instincts. That's fine. I've actually inspected vehicles myself where I've climbed underneath them in a parking lot and looked up to see if I can spot any leaks. Most people I know don't go that far though. So you want to get it inspected and drive it to determine if it runs great. But when the salesperson tells you it runs great, you can absolutely ignore it because it's almost never from personal knowledge. Number five, we'll take care of you. I've had so many people tell me they bought a used car. Salesman said, we'll take care of you. They sign the documents. They drive off the lot. Something blows up the next day. They go back to the dealership and they go, you bought it as is. It's a used vehicle. What do you expect? And the customer says, well, the salesman said he'll take care of me. And they go, yeah, but what does that mean? Does that mean that you can bring it here and you have a full bumper-to-bumper warranty? Or does that mean you can bring it here and we'll look at it and we'll charge you full retail to fix it? Or does that mean we'll suggest a place you can take it and get it fixed on your own dime? We'll take care of you. People hear that as, oh, these people will take care of things that go wrong in my car. And what they say, we'll take care of you. And what they think it means is, hey, buy this car. I need to get it off my lot. I'm trying to hit a quota. So what does it really mean? Well, if you're buying the car as is, means nothing. You're buying a car as is with all faults. We'll take care of you. Huh? Number six, we'll give you top dollar on your trade. This is the inverse of number one, where they tell you it's a great price that they're giving you the car for. They also claim they're giving you a great price in your trade-in. And trust me, you know, we'll give you top dollar. Well, they're going to try to sell a car to you for as much as they can. They're going to try to get your trade-in for as little as they can. And if you find out later they robbed you on your trade-in, we'll give you top dollar again as sales puffery. You can't enforce that. And they actually didn't give you top dollar. Well, number one, prove it. But number two, are your damages. And you can't get damages in a situation where no law has been broken. That's what they do. They're trying to get your car for as little as possible. So obviously that's, you know, we'll give you top dollar is just sales puffery. But again, I can tell you right now, car shopping myself, I had a car I was trying to get rid of. And every place I went to, they'd say that, we'll give you top dollar. And the number was changing. And as soon as I said, well, the other people promised me this, they said, oh, we can match that. And so finally I got sick of that. And I had a guy say, well, we can match that. And I said, well, wait a second. What's top dollar then? And the guy goes, what do you want it to be? And so the car was worth 15. I go, 20. He goes, sure, I can do that. I go, so does that mean you're going to increase the price of the car I'm buying from you by $5,000? He goes, yeah. So the guy admitted. He's going to give me money over here and have me pay it back over here with interest. So what will give you top dollar for your trade means? Who knows? But it's not enforceable. So the key and how to avoid these things, number one, never shop alone. They're less likely to say this kind of nonsense to you if someone else is standing there. Okay, so they tell you you have to buy gap insurance and the man or woman next to you goes, really? I didn't think that was true. It just adds a voice of reason. But number two, get the vehicle inspected. Don't count on anything the salespeople tell you. Just get the vehicle inspected and rely on your own resources. Your mechanic will tell you or your own test drive will reveal to you or your own research will reveal to you. But the point is that do your own research, go in. Ignore everything the salespeople say because none of it is enforceable. And one of the reasons that is, in most states, a sales agreement or a purchase agreement has language right on it, an integration clause, that says that anything that a salesperson tells you doesn't count unless it's reduced to writing on this form. If it's not reduced to writing on that form, it's not enforceable as a matter of law. So if they tell you any of these crazy things, first of all, I'd say, number one, I don't believe you, but number two, will you put that in the purchase agreement? Because they won't. We'll take care of you. They will not write that in the purchase agreement, I guarantee you. So those are the lies that car sellers tell you all the time. They are lies, but they're not lies you can sue them over. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you understood it. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.